And there's a little poem that's entitled, Just Like His Dad. Well, what are you going to be, my boy, when you've reached manhood years? A doctor, a lawyer, or actor great, moving throngs to laughter and tears? But he shook his head as he gave reply in a serious way he had. I don't think I'd care to be any of them. I want to be like my dad. He wants to be like his dad, you men. Did you ever think as you pause that the boy who watches your every move is building a set of laws? He's molding a life you're the model for. And whether it's good or bad, depends on the kind of example set to the boy who'd be like his dad. Would you have him go everywhere you go? Have him to do just the things you do and see everything that your eyes behold and woo all the things you woo? When you see the worship that shines in his eyes of your lovable little lad, could you rest content if he gets his wish and grows up to be like his dad? It's a job that none but yourself can fill. It's a charge you must answer for. It's a duty to show him the road to tread ere he reaches his manhood's door. It's a debt you owe for the greatest joy on this earth to be had. This pleasure of having a boy to raise who wants to be like his dad. The man in the glass. When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what the man has to say. It isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the man you see in the glass. You may be Jack Horner, chisel a plum, and think you're a wonderful guy. But the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please. Forget all the rest, for he is with you right through to the end. And you've passed your most dangerous, difficult test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your only reward will be heartaches and tears if you've cheated that man in the glass. Is a poem that says you don't have to tell how you live each day. You don't have to say if you work or you play. A tried true barometer serves in its place. However you live, it will show in your face. The false, the deceit that you bear in your heart will not stay inside where it first got a start. For sinew and blood are a thin veil of lace. What you wear in your heart, you'll wear in your face. If your life is unselfish, if for others you live, for not what you get but how much you can give, if you live close to God in His infinite grace, you don't have to tell it, it shows on your face.
In light of the subject that I said we were going to deal with about the greenhouse tonight, a wow on the field sent the following information to one of my 13th Corps. And I thought it'd bless you, since this is sort of, I hope, the spring of the year. It hasn't quite sprung yet, but it's getting closer every day. It's entitled, A Year-Round Garden. First, you have to plant 4 rows of peas. Prayer, perseverance, purity, politeness. Next, you plant 4 rows of lettuce. Let us follow Christ. Let us be faithful. Let us be unselfish. Let us love one another. Then you've got to plant 3 rows of squash. Squash gossip, squash fault finding, squash indifference. And finally, no garden is complete grace bliss without turnips. Turn up for twig. Turn up with a smile. Turn up with believing. Turn up with determination to make God's word live in all that you do and say. And it's springtime in Ohio. I don't know what it is all over the country, but it's a good time to be here. And I thought one of my homespun poems was sort of appropriate. A little seed lay in the ground and soon began to sprout. Now, which of all the flowers around, it mused, shall I come out? The lily's face is fair but proud and just a trifle cold. The rose, I think, is rather loud, and then its fashion is old. The violet is pretty well, but not the flower I'd choose, nor yet the Canterbury bell. I never cared for blues. And so it criticized each flower, that supercilious seed, until it woke one summer morn and found itself a weed. In my office, for many, many years, when you leave the door, when you exit from my office and you go out, there's a little plaque on the corner of my bookcase that no one can fail but to see when they leave the door. And it says on that little plaque, it has a little stone on it, and the words, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." A couple of weeks ago, or not even that long, maybe 10 days ago, I thought again of my life, as I've done so many times in these years. It's almost 40 years now that I've given to research and teaching the integrity and accuracy of God's word with the greatest knowledge I have and the great love I have in my heart for God's people around the world. And I thought of my life as an hourglass. And I know what I'm going to do with this after the Rock of Ages. Right now, it's on my desk here in the outside of the, right next to the tent where I come in from to teach. But this hourglass will go next to that one that's in my office that says, "He is without sin, cast the first stone." But here is an hourglass. And when you turn it upside down, as hourglasses are, I had this put on the outside, which I wrote, "I haven't time in the swiftly moving moments of my life to reciprocate in a hurtful voice or lines to those who set themselves as God to judge the ministry of our times." And as a friend of mine once wrote in rhyme, to do a hurtful deed, to deny a hungry cry, to scorn a truth sublime, to cast a cloud of unbelief across a sunny sky, I haven't time. And at the bottom it says, I was thinking of my life and how the sands of time swiftly pass through life's small and frail hourglass. Yet when the sands of time are gathered below, it's the return that will again make my life's timeless hourglass to flow. My life is not timeless, but with the return of Christ, he'll make that hourglass a timeless hourglass to flow. And that's what I wrote regarding why I do not reciprocate to the people who criticize and make fun of our ministry. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when all life and time is over with, every man will have to stand before the judge of all eternity, and that's God Almighty. And therefore, I will allow God to be the judge of our life in the time of his return.
Last evening in the lobby of the auditorium where we appeared, these words were inscribed on the wall. To each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass, and a book of rules. And each must fashion, ere life has flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. And all men are that, either a stumbling block or they're going to be a stepping stone.
If with pleasure you are viewing any work a man is doing, if you like him or you love him, tell him now. Don't withhold your approbation till the parson makes oration and he lies with snowy lilies o'er his brow. For no matter how you shout it, he won't really care about it. He won't know how many teardrops you have shed. If you think some praise is due him, now's the time to slip it to him, for he cannot read his tombstone when he's dead. More than fame and more than money is the common kind and sunny, and the hearty, warm approval of a friend. For it gives to life a savor, and it makes you stronger, braver, and it gives you heart and joy to the end. If he earns your praise, bestow it. If you like him, let him know it. Let the words of true encouragement and love be said. Do not wait till life is over and he's underneath the clover, for he cannot read his tombstone when he's dead. And when you have genuine renewed mind love, you don't find fault with the man who limps or stumbles along the road. Unless you have worn the shoes he wears or struggled beneath his load, there may be tacks in his shoes that hurt, though hidden away from view. And the burden he bears placed on your back might cause you to stumble too. Don't sneer at the man who's down today, unless you have felt the blows that caused his fall, or felt the same as only the fallen know. You may be strong, but still the blows that were his, if dealt to you in the selfsame way at the selfsame time, might cause you to stagger too. Don't be too harsh with the man who sins, or pelt him with words or stone, unless you are sure, yea, doubly sure, that you have no sins of your own. For you know, perhaps, if the tempter's voice should whisper as soft to you as it did to him when he went astray, 'twould cause you to falter too. Isn't that the truth?